Hi, I'm Scott Hanselman, and it's Azure Friday. We're talking about Azure websites and best practices with Sunita Muthukrishna, who is a PM on the Azure team. How are you?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm very good. Thanks for coming to teach me about this. So we're going to learn about some best practices specifically to Azure websites.
Yes, we are.
Is it about the cloud? Is it about just being a good, responsible production website runner?
It is kind of both.
Yeah.
So it's basically a lot of people when they design websites, they just think that you set up one website and they expect the cloud service to manage everything.
Yeah.
And that always doesn't really work because things don't really happen the way you expect them to be. So things can go wrong, then what do you basically do at that point, right?
Yeah.
So you have to figure out how do I make myself less dependent on the service provider to some extent, so I can at least sleep well at night and not be woken up in the middle of the night, hey, my website's down, and what do I do now?
Right. Well, and outages do happen, right? I mean, we've talked about how, who owns your availability, right? Is it the service provider? But ultimately, it's kind of a partnership.
Partnership, yes. I do agree. It's a partnership between yourself as well as the cloud service provider.
What are some examples of some outages that have happened?
So a couple of outages that probably in the recent years you would have seen is Netflix was down during Christmas Eve. This was an outage with AWS, and there was an outage with the Windows Azure Storage. I think this was sometime last year in Feb.
Right.
Then there were a couple of outages with, I think, with multiple services sometime during November.
Right, and it's not that all of Azure goes down or all of Amazon goes down, it's that some service goes down.
Some service goes down, and not necessarily in every region it goes down. It could be just one or two regions it might be down, but still up in some of the other regions. So you don't really know when something can go down, where it may go down. So you basically have to figure out, okay, this is the risk that would be involved, and how do I kind of mitigate those risks and make my life a little bit more easier?
Right, exactly. And thinking about, like, what are some design principles that one needs to think about when they put something in the cloud? Because you have to design for resiliency.
Yes. Yes. So basically, when you try to design for the cloud, this is kind of the key mantra or principle that you need to follow. Is this is basically my web application stack. It could be a website, database. You could have third-party services like cache or CDN, for example. And you just have to basically assume that everything fails. That's kind of something you have to always keep in mind, that yes, something will fail. You don't know when, but it may fail. So, but I still want my application to work. I still want my end users to be able to reach to my website and actually have the content available to them. So keeping this in mind, you need to start thinking about, okay, what are the next steps I need to do? This is what my cloud service provider is giving me. On top of this, what are the next steps I need to do?
Right. Well, you've got things like storage, but you can have storage in multiple regions.
Yes.
You've got your database, but you might have an active passive
yes.
Situation, right? And you have to ask yourself, I guess, if the database is down, what does my experience even look like?
Yeah.
Is it a, I'm sorry, come back tomorrow, or do I show them cache from something else?
Yeah. So basically, they need to understand that you need to figure out what kind of experience you want your end user to have when something really goes down, and what is acceptable to you. Because it could be a business website. If it's an e-commerce website, if your database goes down and if you say, sorry, come back late, and imagine this is Black Friday, then you could understand the impact on your business, right? So that's not acceptable in that case. If it's just a simple content-based website and you're down for probably a few hours, you could say that the service is under maintenance or whatever, gives kind of a general message. So that might be acceptable in that scenario.
Right. I found that partitioning is a good idea. I'm working on a startup on the side, kind of a moonlighting thing. And there's a service that we have to run. There's the main brochureware website, and then there's the blog for the website.
Okay.
Originally, they were all just kind of running as one big application. But then I started pushing traffic on the service, and then I had to start scaling and thinking about the hubs. And I said, these are totally unrelated services.
Yes.
And while in a classic hoster's environment, I would just shove it all on one VM, in an Azure situation, I realized that I might have an extra small instance for the blog and three large instances for the service and a medium one for the website.
Yep. So I think Azure Websites gives you the ability to kind of figure out, as you said, partitioning. You can figure out what you need and split your content in such a way that your costs are more effective. Mm-hmm. You're not paying too much. And maybe, for example, the blog that you said, you might not be getting much traffic, for example.
Exactly.
So you don't really need to run it on a medium or a large. But if your main website, whatever you're trying to say, it could be some sort of a product that you're selling or talking about, that you might get a lot more traffic.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So these are a couple of best practices that we recommend that you actually follow. So first is you think about a scalable design. So how do you think about a scalable design? When you create your website, you figure out what are the components involved for your website to actually work. So for Windows Azure website, we give you basically an IIS VM in the background where you can host your website. But other than that, what additional components you have? It could be a database, could be storage, CDN, whatever. Mm-hmm. So for example, let's just take database as the bare minimum component that you might need for your website. So my stack is a website plus a database. Now, in this scenario, if something happens to my website or if something happens to my database, it's not going to serve up the content for me. So how do I figure out that? How do I be able to reach my customers to make sure my site is always up and running?
Right.
So in this situation, what you would do is probably set it up on multiple regions.
Multiple regions, not just multiple instances, but
not
an
just
entirely
multiple,
different regions.
Yes,
with traffic manager.
With traffic manager. So in this case, what happens is, if, for example, I have a website that gets thousands of requests per second. So in this case, I could use the traffic manager to set up like a performance-based load balancing, where based on the customer's location, it'll figure out which particular website from which region to actually sell up to the end user.
Right. My Asian customers get the Asian instance from the Asian data center.
Yep. And similarly, for example, I don't really care. I don't get that much of traffic. So I just wanted to be set up so that if the website goes down or if the database goes down, I still want my end user to see the content. So in that case, I would probably choose like a failover method. Mm-hmm. So you need to figure out some sort of a traffic routing mechanism to kind of make sure that your site is always up and available.
Right.
Even though we provide a 99.9% SLA, you can still expect like a 10-minute downtime a week, which could be disastrous for some, but okay for some.
Right.
So based on the situation, based on the kind of website that you're running, mm-hmm. it's best to figure out what kind of a scenario you want to choose, whether you want to choose a failover type of a method, you want to choose a performance-based type of a method, and make sure it's on multiple regions so that no matter, even if there's an outage in one region, you can still have your site up and running.
Right,
and
it's
highly available.
You have to have more than one instance if you want to get more
yes.
nines.
Yes.
You get your free 99.9. In a previous video, I saw that one of my podcasts was down for 3 minutes last month. But there's only one of them.
Yeah.
And it's on a shared, website in Chicago somewhere.
Yes.
I've got to have more if I'm really serious. If I want to have those extra nines.
Yes. Multiple instances, multiple regions have some sort of a traffic routing mechanism on top of your website.
Mm-hmm.
Next is eliminating single point of failures. It's, again, same thing. You can't have a single website and a single database. It has to be basically replicate everything.
Right, and that's what makes this high availability idea happen.
Yeah.
But then I've also found that automation is so important. It's amazing how many people think that FTP is a reasonable deployment practice.
Yes.
It's the bare minimum, isn't it?
It's the bare minimum. Basically, to make your life a little bit more easier, it's best to automate as much as you can. All the operations, deployment, maybe some sort of management tasks if you have based on your website, for example, you want to parse the logs, you want to dump the logs somewhere. All that kind of activities you can easily automate with the help of web jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So best is we've given the infrastructure, we've given the platform, and you can actually do a ton of things with it.
I had an idea about web jobs when I was looking at this idea of proactively avoiding failures, but specifically having fire drills. Netflix has this idea of the chaos monkey.
Yes.
I was thinking it would be fun for us to write a web jobs chaos monkey that would go and the chaos monkey pulls cords and deletes files, and then what would happen if this file was missing?
Yes.
What would happen, what if the web config was corrupted or this connection string was wrong? No one has fire drills. It's funny, we always joke about how backups always succeed, it's restores that fail.
Yes, that's true. Even though you automate your backups and everything, there's still a high possibility that something when you're restoring, maybe a file got corrupted, for example, and it didn't work.
Right.
So it's always good to be proactive and figure out, okay, these are my recovery mechanisms. So let's test it out. Does it really work? And cloud computing in general itself is just evolving and growing day by day. Mm-hmm. So the recovery procedures you have today may not work tomorrow. So it's always good to test and retest and retest to make sure that everything works, even though something else changed with your cloud service provider.
Absolutely. I was at my children's kindergarten recently and they had a fire drill, and I was amazed at how calmly the kids walked out. Turns out that they had had an actual fire some months before, a small one, and the children didn't know. They simply walked out like it was any other drill, and that's the whole point.
That's the whole point.
Don't test your restore process when the building is on fire.
Yes.
Let's look at a diagram of an architecture here. So you've got your end users coming into a traffic manager.
Yes, the end users basically they move towards a traffic manager, and basically you set up whatever kind of load balancing mechanism that meets your needs. Mm-hmm. And the traffic manager's responsibility is to figure out how to route the traffic across multiple regions.
Okay.
So wherever your websites are located. So in this case, we have three websites in multiple data centers. Each website is running on multiple instances, because if you're running on one instance, if the instance goes bad, your website can be affected. Maybe the request starts getting really slow. Mm-hmm. So in this case, we set up multiple instances, and each application is actually talking to a database. So it could be a MySQL, SQL Azure, any kind of a database. All the databases in each data center must be in sync. So most of the database providers like SQL Azure, MySQL, they all provide some sort of a database replication mechanism. So you clearly use theirs, or you could probably use WebJobs to build your own. So mm-hmm. it depends on what you want to do. And this kind of would give an end user high availability for their website.
Absolutely. And an interesting point, just to remind myself, is that the global traffic manager gets you into the region, and then another traffic manager gets you onto an instance. Is that correct?
Yes. So Windows Azure website has its own load balancer. We'll figure out which instance your website is going to be serving from. Not every user would go to the same instance. And we also recommend disabling application request routing, which Windows Azure websites enables by default.
Really?
So the reason we ask you to disable it is, for example, if a request comes in, a user request comes in and goes to a particular instance, subsequent requests will go to the same instance. Say, for example, if someone's planning to do an attack on your website, and it'll keep hitting the same instance, and the instance will get really impacted.
I see.
So how do you prevent such kind of a scenario? So the only way to do it is, one is to disable application request routing, and when you disable, it's as simple as just changing your web.conf config.
Okay.
It's pretty simple to do. Disable that, so this way it's dispersed across all the instances, and the load balancer actually does its work to figure out which VM instance to go and serve the content.
Well, when do I want that on, and when do I not want that on?
So you want that on if you're just using one instance, and if it's like a dev test or a staging website that only you are testing, mm-hmm. kind of makes sense. But if it's a production site and you have many users who are actually going to hit your website, if it's significant, then I would recommend to choose to disable it.
Disable application
request routing. Yeah.
Which is effectively sticky sessions.
Yes, yeah, sticky sessions.
I see. So someone shows up and they're going to keep showing up here, which gives some state.
It gives some state, basically, and it kind of it creates a cookie, basically, and the cookie allows the load balance to say that, okay, this is the instance that it was using before, so let's pass all the requests to this particular instance. It makes your website more vulnerable. So.
Interesting, and it allows traffic to more statelessly balance.
Yes. Balance See, across.
Now I have a to-do now. I need to go to one of my sites and change that.
And the couple of other cool features we have, like self-healing. Mm-hmm. So self-healing, what happens is, for example, if for some reason there's a bottleneck on one of my instances, and it's basically any request that's coming to that particular instance, it's taking, say, 20, 30 seconds, mm-hmm. which is really bad if it takes 20, 30 seconds. So in that case, basically what happens is if you just set up a bunch of rules in your web.conf saying that if it takes this long for a certain period of time, means something's wrong with my VM. Mm. So go restart the instance. So that's what self-healing or the auto-healing feature that Azure Websites provides will actually do for you.
And you've got to have multiple instances for that to work for you.
Yes.
Very cool.
And it only restarts the instance that's impacted and not everything.
Right. It doesn't restart the entire application.
No.
So we're talking about Azure best practices for Azure websites. It's Azure Friday.